The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any question. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Giving thanks, yes, and we give thanks to God Yes. So what do you think some of the things we should be thankful for? Friends? Friends? We should be thankful for a lot of things that God has given us. And what's the best thing that God gave us? You wouldn't be here if you didn't have it. But what else? What did God give us? His son. Did he give us his son, Jesus? And why is that so important? He saved us from our sins, yes. So sometimes we have bad days. We just have really bad days. Maybe you broke your arm and you're just not feeling well. So it's really hard to be thankful all the time. But I'm giving all of us a job for the rest of this month, okay? I'm going to give you a calendar, and it's for November. And it's just got squares in it. So on every square during the month of November, I want you to write something you're thankful for. I didn't realize how little these squares were, so you realize that. But even if you're having a bad day, I want you to write something on here that you are thankful for that God has given you. Okay? Let's fold our hands and pray. Dear God, thank you for all of your amazing blessings and the work you do in our lives. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, come get one. We need an extra one. Take two. Get one in your room. Get one in your sister.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep our hearts in mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. So a little five-year-old is coming out of Sunday school. His mother's waiting for him at the car. And he gets there and she says, "Okay, what did you learn today?" "Oh, I learned what God's name was." "Oh, really? And just what do you think God's name is?" And he said, "Andy." Mom looked confused. She said, "Okay, did you hear that from the Bible or the teachers?" And the boy said, "No, I learned it from a song that we sang today." "Okay, maybe you better just tell me what Andy is." And the boy starts to say, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own." We'll get back to Andy here in a minute. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you a true or false test, and I had a rigged question in it. It was about earthquake host, and I rigged it by giving you a false intensity of that earthquake. Well, that's kind of what's going on in our gospel today. And before we get into the gospel too deep, let's maybe look at the background here to kind of give it some framework. The gospel takes place actually in the time frame of Holy Week. Previous to this, Jesus has come into the city of Jerusalem. The people have put the palms down and called him and said, "Hosanna," and called him king. Then, not too long after that, he goes into the temple and turns over the tables of the money changers. So if there wasn't any anger or hatred towards Jesus up to this point, and there was, now it has become serious. They've got to do something about this. All the leaders of the temple have got to do something about this. And so it's kind of like a book signing, or if you're going to see somebody famous, there's a lineup now of people that want to try to trick Jesus. Right before this gospel is the ones where the elders of the temple come and say, "Okay, who should we pay taxes to?" And of course, Jesus thwarts them by saying, "Pay to God what is God's, and pay to Caesar's what is Caesar's." So next in line, the Sadducees in our text. The Sadducees' background. They are very much a very strict sect of the Jews. Matter of fact, they don't believe there's any other part of the Bible other than the Pentateuch, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. As far as they're concerned, everything else is nothing. And they don't believe in the resurrection at all. So they're going, what can we do to get Jesus to treat him? We'll take one of the edicts from Moses about marriage from the Levites. And we'll throw that at him. And that edict is when a woman dies with no children, the brother takes care of the widow. But let's twist it a little bit. Let's see if he believes in heaven, and also let's add twists to it, kind of like my twist in my true or false question. Let's do it seven times. And then we'll throw the heaven at him. We got him against the law. We're throwing at him seven times to mix him up, and then we're going to come in and say, hey, there's no heaven. And of course, their question is, after these seven times, who's supposed to be responsible for the widow? Because there's seven people that supposedly are supposed to. The response that Jesus gives surprises them, because he uses our Old Testament lesson. He goes back and says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when we get to heaven, there is no such thing. There's no more death. There's no more worries about this situation. Because we're all going to be like the angels and sons of God. And it's the way he shoots them down. It's that I am version of Moses using their own text against them that is interesting. One little word in there in particular, the action word. He doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He doesn't say, I had been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am. I am. I am now, I was then, and I am to be his God. And I am to be your God as well. And I will be your God here, now, and in heaven. It goes on further with Moses saying, well, I can't do this. You want me to go to Egypt to do this? And God says, I will be with you. You may not think you can do it. You may not think you have the talent to do it. You may not think you have the time to do it. You may not feel like you're capable of being lifted to that authority. But I will be with you. I am your God. Who do you want me to tell the people you are? Moses says, I am sent you. I am. So important to us as well to know that the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, going all the way back that far, is still our God too. If the Sadducees would have gone a little further in the Bible, they would have seen the story of Job. And in that section is another one of those little sections that really kind of points to the resurrection that we probably sometimes overlook, is in that story of Job being desperate and taking everything away from him. In that, in chapter 19, verse 25, it says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Even in all of his hard times, he knows that he has a Redeemer that lives. If they would have been following Jesus around, they would have also seen him go to Lazarus' tomb, raise him from the dead, and then, with another one of those phrases, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am. It's a wonderful statement. It's a wonderful blessing. We talked about today we're doing giving thanks at the thank offering service, and we're giving thanks also for the wonderful service of our ladies. Thank you all very much for all that you're doing, and especially today leading the worship as well. But we also are coming up on Thanksgiving, where we give thanks for all the blessings that God has given us. And that wonderful blessing that He is our God. The question is, what do we do with it now? He's claimed us, I am your God. The question is, what do we do with it? Do we hear the call like Abraham did when he says, I will be with you when there's a need? Do we live as people that have Him as our God? A young man was praying one night. He said, Lord, I just have a question. I wonder what heaven and hell are like. So in a dream, following that prayer, an angel comes to him and says, follow me. He takes him and he takes him down, and they go to the gates of hell. Now, before they even get in, they can hear that there's crying and a big commotion and everything going on. The angel throws the doors open, and if you have seen Harry Potter, you may not or you may have, you've got that great big huge hall with all those tables lined up straight down and people on every side of it and all the food in the middle. It looks like a gorgeous banquet. You want to get in there and eat. But the people are arguing. They're mad at each other. They're upset. They're crying. It's total chaos. And that's when the young man looks and sees that everybody sitting at the tables are sitting there with arms that have no elbows. And because they have no elbows, they can't get the food back to their mouth. And so everybody's upset. So then the angel closes the door. He says, now let's go. He takes them up to the gates of heaven. And it's a totally different scene. You hear joyous sounds. You hear laughter. You don't hear any arguing. You don't hear any crying. And he opens the door at the same scene. Tables with food all down the middle. People on either side of the table. But they're happy. The difference, they don't have elbows either. But they're feeding the people next to them and the people across the table. And those people are feeding them. What do we do as children of the I am your God? Do we reflect which of those two scenes? Do we reflect that wonderful gift with thanksgiving that we have of a Savior who says, I am going to be with you. I knew you before you were in the womb. I know the hairs on your head. I know you. I claim you. Even though you're a sinner, and I claim you because my Son is the resurrection and the life. Because of His life, death, and resurrection. Not only do I claim you now, but I claim you for the future. But do we live as His children in the present? Do we live living out His kingdom here first? Do we hear His call? And do we say back to Him, here I am, send me. I am your child. Amen.